What's up? Y'all doing all right this morning? Can I get y'all to do me a look how packed this joint is. We just had a service with people in it. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? Can y'all do me a favor? Can y'all just scream or shout real loud? Can y'all do that right now? Can I get some shouting and some screaming? That's good. That's good. I should have opened the first service that way. They were asleep the whole time. I told them that they only come because they know that I can't go over. It's not true, but it's funny. Tragedy of my week this week has nothing to do with the message, by the way. I had a hair appointment on Friday. I'm not letting myself go here. But I had a hair appointment on Friday, and the girl is a good friend of mine. God bless her. Had her baby on Thursday night. And so I'm just here to tell you today, I don't know if I'm going to look like an Easter egg for Easter or not. If anybody can help me out with that, just let me know. Everybody's been saying Jake Lockhart should do it. And it's like, there's like so many posts on my Facebook about this right now. It is ridiculous. But anyway, I appreciate all the help I've been getting so far. This morning, we're starting on just kind of like a little two-week thing that we're doing in between now and Easter, and it's really just all about worship, and the focus of this whole gig is face down, and you're hearing songs this morning from an album called Face Down, and I'll just be honest with you, a little bit of all this is kind of led from that, because God used it in my heart so much, used it in the band's heart and staff's heart so much, that album when it came out. By the way, is written by and sang by a guy by the name of Matt Redman, probably one of the best worship songwriters of our time, and just amazing, amazing guy, got a heart for God. And that album is just like this solid one piece of work that I love it. I love every song on it, and I can't say that about a lot of albums, but it's a beautiful thing. So it's like the black album of, you know, worship albums. There you go. That's Metallica lingo for those of you that care. There's somebody. This morning we're talking about worship. We're talking about being face down and what that looks like and what that means for us. And we're going to be talking about some shouting in just a little bit. And now you're getting worried because now you're thinking we're going to break out the box with the snakes. That's East Tennessee. Sorry. Although I tell you, we did have fun. I'm not gonna chase this too far. We did have fun. We were planning the church, and we were, you know, mobile and in schools and all that stuff. We have this thing that runs, you know, it runs all of the sound stuff through this thing called a snake, and it's just a big bundle of wires. And we had this big crate that it was in. And one night at my house, before the church even started, or maybe we had just gotten the stuff and the church had just started, I spray painted the word snake on top of this thing, because that's what we were putting in. It was the snake. Well, we were, you know, setting up like after basketball games and stuff over at the elementary school. You should have seen some of the people's reactions when we would leave the snake box out in the hallways and in the gym and stuff. That was awesome. Gosh, how did we get to that? So this morning we're talking about worship. We're talking about face down. And just to give you a little background to the scripture that we're using this morning, it's out of the book of Leviticus. Anybody studying the book of Leviticus lately? I didn't think so. Not a whole lot of studies coming from the book of Leviticus. It's got a lot of history in it, and it's very important for us to have that stuff. But there are these little samples of things that God is really speaking through and really doing some pretty incredible stuff. And we have that here in this passage of scripture we're reading today. Excuse me. And in chapter 9 of the book of Leviticus, we have Moses and Aaron, and they are seeking God. And I don't know why you're here today. I don't know what brought you in the door today, but I hope that you came seeking God, because that's the goal of today. And to go along with that, to think about that, we see this passage, and we see Moses and Aaron, and they have come, and they've said, God, we want to be closer to you. We want to be your people. We want you to lead us. You, God. And so in the midst of that, Moses and Aaron have been seeking God for a while at this point. But what happens, you know, from some chapters even before, if you go back and look at it, you know, God is telling them what to do. He's giving very specific instructions. You know, they didn't say, hey, God, we're going to build a tabernacle for you, and then go to God and then say, okay, God, we built you a tabernacle. Now what do you want to do with it? No. They didn't go backwards, and we oftentimes do this. We tend to make plans about something and then ask God to join them. And that's totally the wrong thing to do. It's totally not what we're supposed to do. And in thinking about that this morning, we see these guys like Moses and Aaron, and God is telling them, build the tabernacle and build it like this and do it this way and do it that way. And they're just following God's instructions. And I think we're all so guilty of falling on that sometimes. Well, Moses and Aaron were really seeking the Lord, and at this moment, after the tabernacle had been built and all this other stuff, they're just looking at God and saying, God, we want to see you. And we just sang the song, seeing and singing. Seeing is singing. And the whole premise of that song, you know, you just sang it, is based around the idea that we can't sing about what we have not seen. And I think for so many of us, you know, to even think about being face down, let me just go there for a second. What face down is what happens when we see God. When we see God, we can't help but go face down. All through Scripture, everybody that we see in Scripture that sees God, sees the glory of God, ends up going face down. I mean, just immediately. And so just to kind of pose the question for you today, when was the last time you were face down? And if you're going, well, it's been forever since I've been face down. I don't know when was the last time I was face down. Well, I'm here to tell you today that I think scripturally it is justifiable to ask yourself the question, if it's been a while since you've been face down, then it's probably been a while since you've seen God. Moses and Aaron seeking God, saying, God, we want to follow you. And he's giving them instructions, and he's, you know, these guys have got sin. They're like us. They're struggling. And this sin is something that, you know, they've got to overcome, but they can't do it alone. They need God's forgiveness. And this is before the cross. And so what do? They're making sacrifices. By the way, the cross saved them just like it saved us. But before that, at that point in time, God made very specific instruction of sacrifices to make for forgiveness of sin. And in this particular account, we see so many different types of sacrifice, and you're going to kind of, I don't want you to lose me when we get to looking at it here in a second, because it gets kind of like a bunch of oxes and rams and goats and all kinds of crazy stuff is going on with this junk. And I want you to understand something. The specifics are very important to this. We're going to talk about why, but I want to read it. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1, it says this. On the eighth day, Moses summoned Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. He said to Aaron, take a bull calf for your sin offering, and a ram for your burnt offering, both without defect, and present them before the Lord. And this is two different types of offerings. Basically, get these two different types of offerings together. So we got different offerings for different things and for different people, because this is like, it's obvious in kind of studying this historically that because of the number of offerings that they're doing here and what they're doing here, that it's not like the people are the only ones with sin. The priests also are with sin here. He goes on in verse 3, it says, then say to the Israelites, take a male goat for a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both a year old without defect, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for a fellowship offering. Aren't you glad you have to do this? This would be so crazy. To sacrifice before the Lord together with a grain offering mixed with oil. Now I want you to stop right here. I know you're like, okay, I'm checking out. You know, we've gotten animals, we're covering like the livestock territory here of everything. Just hang with me here, okay? He's being very specific. God is telling them, this is what I want you to do. Being very specific. And then he says something. The very next thing. And this can be true for us today. For today, the Lord will appear to you. For today, the Lord will appear to you. And again, I just ask that question, when was the last time you were face down? When was the last time that you spent time with God and he changed your heart in some way? I have to be really honest with you. When I really spend time with God, whether it's in the middle of the week, early in the morning, late at night, on a Sunday morning, on a Thursday day, whatever it is, when I spend time with God, really spend time with God, He always changes something in my heart. Always. I'm always humbled. I'm always reminded of how small I am and how big He is. For today the Lord will appear to you. Goes on in verse 5, it says this. They took the things Moses commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the entire assembly came near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." Moses said to Aaron, "Come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and the people." See, covering everybody here. "Sacrifice the offering that is for the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded." And then in verses 8 through about 15, we have them getting all of these offerings together. It's taking time. It's taking a lot of work to do this stuff. And I mean, if you just read through there, if you've got your Bible, you're welcome to look at this later on your own if you want to. This would be great over lunch to share with everybody. Is stuff like, verse 11, "The flesh and the hide he burned up outside the camp." You know, things like that. It's great for lunch. This is what's going on. This is the stuff that God has called them to do. And it seems so crazy. I mean, it's so much stuff. Why can't there just be like one thing and their heart be right with that one thing? Listen, how many times do we have not a clue why God would have us to go through something? How many passages of Scripture could we find that we could possibly go, "Well, I just don't understand why God would want me to do that. Because that seems like the opposite of what He has called me to do in my life sometimes," or what the opposite. You know, the truth is, God never contradicts Himself. But sometimes His Scripture doesn't seem to fit our plan. And that's the truth of it. And we're just so guilty sometimes from just making plans, and even sometimes good plans. Sometimes we're guilty of making plans that, you know, are solely meant for, you know, the purpose of worship or the purpose of God's kingdom or something. But we set out on them and we're just like, you know, "Well, I'm going to work and do this thing and we're going to make this thing and it's going to be this thing. Okay, God, we got it. We got this thing together now. Come and join us, God. What do you want to do with it now, God?" And He's kind of like, "Well, you got yourself something there, don't you? I think I'll let you handle that since you've gotten it this far." God wants us to recognize that He is there. God wants us to live lives where our lives are consumed by His presence, that we could be in awe of Him. Chris, why do they have to do all that stuff? I don't know that I can fully explain it, but I think part of it is this. You know, God just sometimes wants us to be obedient. And obedience in of itself is worship. The decision that we made on Tuesday to follow God through something in our life versus doing it our way was an act of worship. It may have not seemed like it at the time, but it was. In verse 16, we pick up and we're kind of finishing off the preparation of getting these sacrifices together. And this is what it says, verse 16. It says, "He brought the burnt offering and offered it in the prescribed way," God's prescription. Verse 17, it says this. He said, "He also brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar in addition to the morning's burnt offering." Verse 18, "He slaughtered the ox and the ram as the fellowship offering for the people. His sons handed him the blood, and he sprinkled it against the altar on all sides, with the fat portions of the ox and the ram, the fat tail, the layer of fat, the kidneys, and the covering of the liver." Great, great stuff, right? "These they laid on the breast, and then Aaron burned the fat on the altar. Aaron waved the breast on the right thigh before the Lord as a wave offering, as Moses commanded. This is just a taste of like some of the stuff that God has said to Moses. This is what you need to do. And Moses is turning around and saying, we got to make sure to do it this way. If we don't do it this way, it's not going to be right. It's a lot of work. Verse 22. Then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them, and having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Moses and Aaron then went to the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Now I want you to get ready for this, because I don't know if you're ready for this. Verse 24. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and they fell face down. I mean, this is like the ultimate pyro. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we're seeing like God throwing down fire. I mean, they're hanging out. They've got the offering together. They've got the altar all set up. And then they're just kind of waiting back to see what happens. Here comes the glory of God. I'm sure they're blown away. And then on top of being blown away, he just, you know, whatever how he does this, he's just like, fire. Burns it up. Fire just shooting down from the presence of God and just burning this thing up. I mean, this is unbelievable. Better than a Kiss concert. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. What do they do? What do they do? And when the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. I want to share some pictures with you here. I think that would be good for us to look at this morning. What picture do we have first here? I think we've got some trees. Yeah, we've got, these are the redwood trees out west. And we've got, you know, this young man. I don't know who this is. It's not like my cousin or something, just so you know. Just some random picture off the internet. Some kid, and the tree has fallen down that way, and we're seeing the bottom side of the roots of this tree. You know, we whine when like a tree falls in our yard. But I mean, look at this thing. I mean, this is bigger than most of our houses. It's huge. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We got some more slides of the trees. Let's check this out. We got unbelievably the tallest trees in the world, biggest trees in the world. Just so huge. I mean, I just want to look at this and I just want to say about this. God created this. This is His creation. His creation. Let's go to the next one. This was great because it doubles as a two-car garage. And you know I love that. You would want to cover your car to not get sap on it. That's just coming from the car guy. You know, it'd be bad. But, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, we take things for granted that God has created that are all around us. And, you know, I know we don't have these in our backyard, but they are right here. And He did create them. What we got next? Oh, Slim Goodbody. Y'all remember Slim Goodbody? This is back to the 80s right here. This was public television at its finest in the 80s with a guy with a fro that was dressed in a suit. By the way, he's not naked. He is wearing a suit that looks like the insides of your body. Slim Goodbody. And he taught me as a child that my heart was there and, you know, bones and all that stuff. You know, and you know, it's kind of funny, but I mean, truth be known, the human body in of itself, had this conversation with a nurse this week. The human body in of itself is probably one of the most miraculous things that God has created. That if one thing was just a little bit off, if one organ was not working correctly, throw the whole thing off kilter. That's glory to God, by the way. He created that. He did that. Next slide. I don't know how that got in there. That's not supposed to be there. No. But I mean, seriously, you know, you take for instance just how awesome, if you're a parent, how awesome it is that you could have a child, or that you could have someone that loves you as much as you love them. That's glory to God. Only God could do that. Next slide. Aurora Borealis, Northern Lights. Seen pictures of this before. It was so hard to pick a picture, one picture, because I looked through all these pictures, and I'm just going, you know, these are some amazing pictures, and I just finally, you know, chose this one. And it's just an amazing sight. I've never seen it in person. But seeing it in a picture, to imagine that that is real, that's not like, you know, some CG animation, not some kind of, you know, whatever, not some Photoshop deal somebody made up. That is the real deal in the sky. And God made it. My favorite planet, the sun. It's not really a planet, by the way. It's a star. And the sun is one of those things that, you know, we see it every day. We go outside and, you know, if we're going to spend a long time outside, we got to protect ourselves from it. It's just there. One little thing, you know, it having like a little mishap one day can throw cell phone towers and, you know, the World Wide Web into, you know, a small panic for a moment in time. I mean, just, you know, we have to have it to survive. I mean, it's just incredible, incredible stuff. You know, I want to just remind you, again, God created the sun. God created the sun. He made that thing. He made this thing, and you know, we're so into Earth sometimes, and so stuck on Earth, because we live here, that, you know, we just don't think about stuff like this. We're not looking into space and going, oh, well, God made that. Let me give you a couple of little things, little tidbits about the sun here, because I know you woke up this morning saying, I want to learn something about the sun today. Every second, it creates more energy than mankind has in its existence. Every second. And you thought you had a nice stereo system. It's like, check this out, it's like 92 billion. This is so hard to fathom. It's like 92 billion, 1 megaton nuclear bombs going off every second. Every second. Not regular nuclear bombs. Not like the nuclear bombs that we're afraid somebody might have and use on us at some point. I'm talking about 1 megaton nuclear bombs, whatever those look like, and then having 92 billion of those going off all at the same time. Now, in the first service, I gotta give props to the band. They're back here, you know, and they're listening in and they're praying through this, and God is changing their hearts. You know, on every breath that I say, I know they're back there laughing right now. And they took this number, this 92 1 megaton deal, and they figured out that it would be the same as what is it, guys? 184 quintillion of these things. They wrote it out on a sheet of paper. It's like a mile long. It's zeros forever. I don't even know how they know this. I'm scared of them now. The next week, I'm going to come back there, and there's going to be a lab set up or something. It'll be like CSI. It takes, get this, takes the heat 8 minutes to get from the sun to us. Takes the heat 8 minutes to get the sun from us. That's 94 million miles that it travels between there and here in 8 minutes. You say, well, that's, you know, speed of light's good. Speed of heat, I guess, is even better when it's coming from the sun. Check this out. If we could jump on a jet airplane and go straight from here, straight to the sun, it would take us 17 years to get there. God made that. It takes 333,000 Earths to make up the mass of the sun. 333,000 Earths. It would take 109 Earths going straight across just to get the width in a line. And we're so good about saying, well, I spent time with God today. And I ask the question, did you spend time with God today? Are you spending time with God? because Moses and Aaron and his boys, they sought out God to the point that they were willing to just follow all of the things that God would ask them to do. And in doing so, they saw the presence of God, the glory of God. And in that moment, he shoots fire down to burn up the altar and the offering on it. And something tells me sunscreen wouldn't have even come close to protecting us that day. Say, Chris, I get it. God is unbelievable. He's awesome. And I come back to that. I say, well, yeah, of course he is. He made something like the sun, which is an average-sized star in the billions of stars in our galaxy. And by the way, there are billions of galaxies in the universe. Our average-sized star keeps us afloat. And God made it that way. And for a moment in time, I think it's important for us on a regular basis to remember who God is and how great he really is. I mean, just how awesome he is. You know, and we try to take words that we use to describe, you know, food or, you know, things that we like to describe God. And truth is words just don't even come close. He is the creator of brightness. And he himself is the pure light. And if you think about this passage of scripture, you've got these guys that are in the presence of God. And I just remind you to look back into scripture. It's so many other people that came into the presence of God and what happened to them. They'd be crippled or blinded or even killed. And these guys get to hang out in the presence of God. Well, what in the world is going on? Well, we see that Aaron and Moses, they blessed the people in verse 23 of this. We just read that. They blessed the people. So what is it that they were saying? Well, here's the blessing. And just doing a little research, the blessing is over in the book of Numbers. We don't have it right there, but we've got it in Numbers chapter 6. And this is what it says in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. This is the blessing. And it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." And he had to pray, be gracious, that the Lord would be gracious to you, because let's just honestly face it. If the glory of the Lord were to come in its raw form into our presence, it would just absolutely obliterate us. It would kill us. We'd be gone. And Aaron's blessing here, and he's saying, God, show your face, make your face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. He's saying, Lord, let us be with you, but harness your power in such a way that we can be with you and be alive. Verse 26, "The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." And give you peace. The most peaceful moments of my life are spent face down. There's no other moment in my life or in our lives where we could have more clarity about who we are and who God is calling us to be than when we're face down. Our God is unbelievable, and he wants to be seen. And he has shown himself in small ways all over the place in our creation, and in huge ways all over our creation. Not just here on our earth, and not just in our backyard, and not just in our family, not just in something that he's done in your heart, but he has done it in the universe so that we would turn and that we would fall face down and worship. And the church is at this place across the board in our world today where we are consumers of worship. And we come and we talk about how good it was or how bad it was or this or that and what it meant to me. And we're not supposed to be consumers of worship. We're supposed to be consumed by worship. Because worship is not for us. It is for him. And I long for the day that even me in my heart, I'm confessing sin here, that when I go away from 24 Church on a Sunday morning, that instead of saying, how was it today? Was it good for you today? Was it good for me today? That instead I would ask God, God, was it good for you today? Because our worship should be for him. And if we see him, then we see his grace. And we see the cross. And we are constantly reminded of how good he is and how great he is and how just he is and how powerful he is and how afraid we should be of him in a healthy way. And this morning, I pray that we could be like the people at the very end of this passage in Leviticus, where it says, and when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say that the people were like, oh, man, that was good today. Yeah, that was great. Wasn't that good? Yeah, that was good. That was good for me, good for you. Yeah, okay, all right, let's go get some Mexican. It's always there. It says that when they saw, they shouted. They shouted. And they were thankful. And nobody cued them. Nobody said, hey, let's everybody just scream and shout right now. They just saw God and they just began to shout and immediately fell face down. And this morning, I think sometimes we just need to do a little shouting. And we need to fall face down. And maybe this morning you haven't been face down in a long time. God wants you to recognize his awesomeness. And there is nothing more reverent, nothing more worshipful that we could ever do in his presence than to fall face down before him. That we could turn our heads in a way to just show him, God, you are my Lord and Savior, and you are awesome. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for your truth, for your word. And God, I just pray that this morning, God, that we would be a people that would fall face down. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be scared of coming to you with everything in our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be bent in a fashion, Lord, that is to show you, God, that you are our God, you are our Savior, you are our Lord. God, that you are good. God, that we really don't deserve to be in your presence. But God, you give us that opportunity. We don't even have to go to a priest anymore. God, we can come straight to you. God, I'm so thankful for that. God, I pray, Lord, that we would see you. And that when we see you, that we would want to sing about you. And that we would want to shout your name. That we would want to shout how great you are. and how changed we are because of who you are in our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that we could just shout about the fact that you're working in other people's lives. God, may we be in awe of you. God, may we be face down. We love you.